How do you do? Freedom of thought is the life of the soul, according to the French philosopher Voltaire. But even as a young boy, the man in this story realized that his thoughts were often deceitful and immoral, corrupting his soul. Outwardly, he led a very moral life, but his thoughts were anything but free until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Dramatizing true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago before a live audience by Pacific Garden Mission. Since 1877, the old lighthouse in Chicago has faithfully kept the doors open to those without homes and those without hope. Thanks to faithful friends like you who give financially to keep the doors open, the kind of help provided has grown to include nourishing meals, a clean bunk, fresh clothing, and a medical and dental clinic that ministers to the physical hurts. Pastors and counselors look to the inner, hidden needs of each individual that have led to their sad situation. All of this is possible at Pacific Garden Mission because of the one who is faithful and true, the one who gives new life, the one that this dramatic program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2763 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Ella, I have terrible news.
What is it, Joseph?
My parents are dead.
Oh!
Killed by the Nazis in the invasion of Romania.
Oh, Joseph, what about your sister?
She was taken to a concentration
camp. Oh, no!
The filthy murderers buried my parents in a mass grave. Oh. 10,000 Jews, human beings, gone. Think of it.
But if you had stayed, you would be among them, Joseph.
Yes. We must never forget this atrocity, never. And we will teach our children to remember.
One of the children in this family of Orthodox Jews who fled Europe when World War II began is the subject of our story. It's easy to understand the bitterness that clung to his people because of the persecution. It's a lot harder to break free of that bitterness and mistrust, as Sam Rotman will describe in this first of a two-part story, his true testimony right now on Unshackled.
My father was from Romania, and my mother was from Czechoslovakia. When they saw the Nazi menace coming, they were unable to go to America because of immigration laws, so they fled to Ecuador, where they met and married in 1940. They learned Spanish, and my brother Michael and Diana, my sister, were born there. In 1950, when my mother was pregnant with me, my father made a decision.
I want to move to America.
Why, Joseph?
Because our children will get a better education and more opportunities there.
Yes, that's true, but we don't speak English.
We can learn, just as we learn Spanish.
How soon do you want to go?
As soon as I can make arrangements. My friends in America tell me there's a city in South Texas where many of the people speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. So we can go there. It is called San Antonio.
My family came to America in April 1950, settled in San Antonio, and I was born 5 months later. My dad was a salesman, and Mom stayed home and cared for us. Ours was a very religious home, where Yiddish was spoken. All our friends and relatives were Jews, and we celebrated the Jewish holidays together. Mom lit the Sabbath candles every Friday evening, and my father led the Passover service every spring. I especially love Purim. Based on the book of Esther in the Bible, when all the children dressed up in costumes. Every time the name of Haman was mentioned, we had noisemakers to revile him as an enemy of the Jews.
Then Esther the queen answered and said, "For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage."
Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so?"
And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman.
My sister was 7 years older than I, and my brother was 10 years older, so they were gone by the time I started grappling with the world. But I was keenly aware that God was a big part of our lives. Every spring we celebrated Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 8 days. I was careful to eat only unleavened bread the whole time. I felt such pride as my father led the service, and we prayed and sang in Hebrew.
This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Whoever is hungry, let him come and eat. This year we are here, next year in Jerusalem. This year we are slaves, next year free people. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord our God took us out from there with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. What makes this night different from all nights?
We were slaves!
Another high point of my Jewish life was the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which lasted from sundown to sundown. For 24 hours, we did not eat or drink anything. Just before sundown, we ate a large meal, then went to the synagogue for a 3-hour service. The next morning, we were at the synagogue at 8 a.m. to worship until sundown at 6 p.m. Even as a child, I learned to fast during Yom Kippur.
Hey, Sam, did you come in here to sneak a drink of water?
No, I'm washing my hands.
Yeah, I'll bet you came to sneak a drink.
I did not. I'm fasting. See my tongue? It's all white.
That doesn't mean anything. Lots of kids come in here and wrap a towel around their tongue till it turns white.
It does?
Sure. Didn't you know that, dummy? It sucks the moisture out.
Mommy, did you know what I learned today? Some of the kids are cheating on the fast.
Really?
Yeah, there's a trick. They wrap a paper towel around their tongue and it turns it white. They're cheating.
Well, you can trick God, Sammy. He knows who's fasting and who's cheating.
Most of my close friends were those who attended public school with me, and my actions were completely different when I was with them than when I was with my Jewish friends at the synagogue. Cheating, cursing, and lying came very easy for me most of the time. I never considered these actions as conflicts to the religious practices within our family. At the end of my school day, I also went to Hebrew school 5 days a week, where I learned conversational Hebrew and all about our history and religion. I was proud of our heritage and studied hard. Augmenting my religious training, my mother often took me to concerts when I was a child. She had grown up near Vienna and loved classical music. After one of these concerts, I became enthralled with the piano.
Joseph, Sammy wants to learn the piano. What do you think?
Well, I'm not anxious to buy a piano, that's for sure. He might change his mind, just the way Michael did after we poured money into a violin and lessons.
Please, Daddy.
I found a piano teacher nearby who gives lessons for $1.50.
How will he practice without a piano?
The teacher has a cardboard keyboard she sells for $1.
You promise to practice, son?
Oh, yes, Daddy.
We can afford that much, Ella.
I'll let him begin then.
Keep up your schoolwork, Sammy, especially Hebrew school.
I loved the piano. I had weekly lessons and practice at home on that cardboard keyboard. One day I was at the neighbor's house playing their piano when Mom came by to borrow something. Amazed at hearing me play so well, she and my father immediately bought me an upright piano. I improved quickly.
Very good.
I want to be a concert pianist someday, Mommy.
Oh, that's wonderful to think my son in a concert like that is thrilling.
Well, I have to practice a lot more, though.
As long as you keep up with your studies.
Well, I'm doing well in school and also in my Hebrew
that's
classes.
That's good.
My teacher in Hebrew school taught us that the plagues in Egypt weren't miracles but could be explained scientifically. It sure makes more sense to me.
It was too difficult to believe that God just caused them to occur each time he sent Moses to Pharaoh.
I'm glad you've learned so much about our history. You'll continue to learn more about music, too, if you continue to practice.
Well, the more I practice, the better I play, and the better I play, the better I want to play.
I'm sure that's true of many things.
You know, there's a talent show at the River Theater that I want to win next year.
Your father and I are proud of your diligence, Sammy.
I came in second at the talent show when I was 12, and again when I was 13, the year of my bar mitzvah. I spent a year preparing for this milestone, learning to sing in Hebrew the half Torah from Isaiah chapter 43.
Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior.
I was diligent in my religious practice, voluntarily taking classes at the synagogue, even when my religious education was complete. I taught the younger boys the liturgy of the morning Jewish prayers.
Putting on the phylacteries is based on Deuteronomy chapter 6 from the Torah. Speaking of God's law, verse 8 says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Now, you take the leather strap and wrap it 7 times around your arm. This is for the 7 days of creation, okay, like so. Now, around your hand, you spell in Hebrew, El Shaddai, which means Almighty. The box on your hand and on your forehead contains the 10 commandments.
I found it very easy to go to synagogue and be religious, and just as easy to curse and lie at school when necessary. Both were very natural to me. I came to see that religion was something I practiced in the synagogue, but in fact, I was hiding the real me from God. Each morning, Mom woke me at 5:30 so I could recite my prayers and still have time to practice the piano before breakfast.
The piano teacher wants me to go to Austin for lessons from her teacher.
That's a long way to go for lessons, Sammy.
I can take the bus. Now, this man graduated from the Juilliard School of Music, Mommy. I mean, think what I could learn from him.
I'll discuss it with your father.
You know what else I'm going to do?
Huh?
I'm going to go to summer school, so I'll have more time during the school year to practice the piano.
You're very dedicated, son. I think it's time to buy you a better piano. Maybe a grand piano. You've just about worn out that upright.
I traveled to Austin every 2 weeks on Saturdays for an all-day lesson until my teacher moved to San Antonio. When I was 16, a well-known piano competition was held, and the winner would make a debut with the San Antonio Symphony Orchestra. I played a Mozart piano concerto and won against 26 contestants. So I debuted with the orchestra before a crowd of 6,000 people. Even my dad was there, and the concert was a great success.
Look at this, Joseph, this review of the concert.
Sam Rotman is a pianist of abundant potential. I agree, Sammy. You played very well that night.
Daddy, the symphony is inviting me to go on a short tour with them.
Huh?
Mazel tov.
Not only that, but they're coming to my high school to perform, and I'll be the soloist.
The San Antonio Symphony Orchestra is coming to your school?
Yep.
It's a tribute to all your hard work, Sammy.
We had to perform the concert twice at school to accommodate all the students in the auditorium, after which they went wild with cheering. With all the accolades and attention, pride filled my heart. I practiced 6 or 7 hours a day and felt that I had earned the praises. My piano teacher urged me to go to New York City to take a 1-hour lesson with his former piano teacher at Juilliard. I traveled to New York with great expectations and played for Sasha Gorodnitsky.
Sam, you may be something in Texas, but you're nothing here. I have 12-year-old students who play better than you will ever play.
How would such a stinging critique affect Sam? We'll find out in a moment. In a world full of deception, There is still one source of truth that can be trusted, and that is God's Word, the Holy Bible. There you will find the answers to troubling questions about the past, promises about the future, and guidance for each day. To help you understand how to study the Bible, we've prepared a Bible study of the Gospel of John, consisting of 6 lessons that you can complete at your own pace in your own home. And the entire course is completely free. There's nothing to buy. All you need is a Bible and a pencil. Each lesson has a list of questions with scriptural references from the Gospel of John. And as you complete each lesson and mail it to us, we'll send succeeding lessons, each one free. Reading these verses, you will gain insight into your own life situation and wisdom that will enable you to help others. Best of all, you will come to know God's plan for your life. To receive your free Gospel of John Bible study course, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. However you contact us, please include your address.
I don't think he said those things to humiliate me, but to motivate me. And was I ever motivated? I returned to San Antonio, determined to attend Juilliard and study with him. Practicing rigorously, I played a major recital and returned to New York in June to audition at Juilliard. The audition was nerve-wracking and intense, but I felt that I had played very well. 10 days later, I received a letter from the Juilliard school.
What does it say, Sammy?
It says, I've been accepted!
That's wonderful!
This is great! Wait till the school finds out.
Congratulations, son. We're very proud of you.
It isn't cheap to go to Juilliard, Daddy.
Don't worry about the money. Just work hard and practice.
In the fall of 1968, I rented a room a block away from Juilliard. My aunts lived in Manhattan, and they encouraged me and helped make me feel at home. When I began attending class, I made a commitment to myself that I would practice 10 hours a day, and I kept that commitment. I was at school when the doors opened at 8, and I left at 10:30 at night when the guard chased me out. I literally sat at the piano for 10 hours a day, taking breaks only for 3 classes and a short lunch and dinner.
Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Great.
There's a party tonight at Cy's place. Are you going?
No, thanks. I have to practice.
You know what they say about all work and no play.
Playing is play for me.
Did you hear that I'm giving a concert in Kansas City?
Really? How did you get that?
I'm from Kansas City.
Oh, well, that explains that.
No, I was selected at random. They had no idea I was from Kansas City.
So what pieces will you play?
Well, I'm playing the Mozart Piano Concerto No. 20.
Well, I'm just 17 now, but I played that as a soloist with the San Antonio Symphony Orchestra in concert during my graduation. There were 6,000 people in attendance.
With occasional twinges of shame at my conceit, I jealously guarded my self-image as the best, criticizing all contenders. I put down others to reassure myself and lied when necessary to build myself up. I was considered a clean-cut person. No drugs, no drinking, not even sex. Now and then I bought a pornographic magazine and the fantasy in my mind became my secret sin. But I never partied, and I still don't know what beer tastes like. There were many temptations in the city, but I wanted to honor my parents, so I was a very moral man, externally, as I finished my first year at Juilliard.
Hello?
Hi, Mommy.
Ah!
Guess what? I received one of the highest grades from the faculty when I played for the jury.
Wonderful!
The dean told me I could now study with anyone on the faculty.
And you chose the one that was so rude to you.
No, even he praised me this time, though. But there's another professor I prefer, an expert on Beethoven.
That's nice. Sammy, we read in the paper about the anti-war demonstrations there and the students using drugs and looking like hoodlums.
Yes, but I'm not involved, Mommy.
Are you going to synagogue, son?
I don't have time, Mommy, but I pray every night.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom, forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Blessed be the name of the Most High God, King of the universe. My prayers and my external morality did nothing to change my heart, a heart that remained deceptive, self-centered, and self-seeking. As I began my second year at Juilliard, my new teacher led me through an intense study of Beethoven's piano works.
Do you see it, Sam? It's in the score, in that little dash that Beethoven made in the measure.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It is, isn't it? You can experience the power of his music without even hearing it played, just by observing the little dots and dashes he made on the score.
Now that I see it, his musical score is almost alive. It's like a life-giving source. I can hear the music.
Oh, there's no composer like him.
Not even close.
This year, as you know, is the bicentennial celebration of his birth, and I'll be spending the summer in Paris preparing for concerts. Perhaps you can come to Paris and study with me.
That would be fantastic.
His invitation became a source of pride as I compared myself with other students, making them feel inferior and inadequate in their level of achievement. As the time approached, I called home to inform my parents of this wonderful opportunity.
Hello?
Hi, Daddy. How's your work?
Ah, hey, good enough to pay the bills, Sam. How about you?
Daddy, my teacher has invited me to go to Paris for the summer. He'll be there for some Beethoven concerts, and I can continue my studies with him. What do you think?
What, you think I'm rich, son? I'm just a dry goods salesman.
I know, but this is a great opportunity. It's the bicentennial of Beethoven's birthday.
And me, I'm buying the birthday present.
Sort of.
I suppose you'll want to see some of Europe while you're there.
That would be nice. I'll be getting 3 free lessons a week from Mr. Latinier. And if I practice 6 or 7 hours a day, I can still see the sights.
All right, Sammy. If you live frugally, we can cover your expenses.
That was my first time in Europe, and I traveled and sampled the art and culture there, but continued my intense practice, solidifying a love for the music of Beethoven. When I returned to Juilliard in the fall for my third year, I prepared for my own series of concerts. But I wasn't prepared for a confrontation that came one day during my 10-minute lunch break as I sat in the school cafeteria eating my tuna salad sandwich.
Mind if we join you?
Help yourself.
I'm Keith, and this is Hart, and that's David.
I've seen you in the piano practice area, Keith.
I'm a composition major.
I'm an organ major, and David's a violin major.
You're studying piano, aren't you, Sam?
Yes, with an emphasis on Beethoven. I have 2 concerts to play in December.
Oh. You're also a religious Jew, aren't you?
Yes.
Have you ever read the New Testament, Sam?
No.
Why not?
I don't think it's a Jewish book.
26 of the 27 books were written by Jews.
Well, we never had a New Testament in our home, so it must not be for us. It's not something a Jew would read.
Well, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Do you think he could be the Jewish Messiah?
No, I don't think he was.
Well, here, listen to this passage and tell me where it's from. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
That's from Isaiah.
In the New Testament, Jesus was quoting from Isaiah chapter 61, and when he finished, he told them that this scripture was fulfilled in their ears. He was speaking about himself.
He's not the Messiah. He was just an ordinary Jew.
Listen to this. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
I'm not really interested in your book.
But he is the Jewish Messiah, Sam. You should read the New Testament and see for yourself.
Look, Jesus is not for the Jews, okay? I have to get back to practicing.
I didn't see them every day, fortunately, or even every week. But every time I saw them, that's all they talked about. Jesus the Messiah. They upset me so much with their conversation that I began to avoid them. Sometimes I pretended not to see them when I entered the cafeteria.
There you are, Sam.
Hello, Keith.
Well, haven't seen you in a while.
I've been busy.
I have a whole bunch of verses you ought to look up in your Bible. Prophecies about the Messiah that Jesus fulfilled. He really is the Jewish Messiah, Sam.
I think the people who wrote about him invented him, made him the Messiah. He was just a Jewish man. Who knows if he even existed?
Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies about the Messiah, Sam, more than 300.
I'm not interested.
You ought to be. You don't want to miss out on something this good. Just listen to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth."
I don't want to hear any more of this stuff. It's not true.
Listen to this one.
Don't open that book.
But Moses spoke about Jesus.
No, he didn't.
It's the truth, Sam. God's word. Jesus is the Messiah, God's only son.
I gotta go practice.
I was so upset when I went to the practice room that I yelled and shouted at them, even though I was alone.
You mean to tell me that Jesus is the answer for the Jews? What about my grandparents who died in the Holocaust? What about the sacrifices of my parents? Why have the Jews always been persecuted? And you're telling me that Jesus is the answer? You're a bunch of idiots! You guys know nothing, you are nothing, you're deceived, you're idiots!
Next week, we'll bring you the conclusion of Sam's testimony, a story full of wonder at God's grace. What about you, listening friend? Are you aware of God's love for you? His plan for your life that includes eternity with Him? Eternal life isn't possible with sin. And God says we're all sinners. And that's why He sent Jesus, who died in our place, who lives to give us victory over sin and death. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." How do you receive this gift of salvation? Ask, and you shall receive. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." To learn more about New Life in Christ, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit us online at unshackled.org. This is program number 2763. Heard in part one of the true story of Sam Rotman, where Tim Dadabo, Dave Kappas, Russ Reed, Belinda Bremner, Thompson Howell, Jack Bivens, and Mike Baccarella. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We do look forward to hearing from you. That's simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.